Hey, once again, I'm Zack Snyder, and you're listening to the Black Bar Podcast. This is part two of our conversation on volunteers, featuring Nick, Caleb, and myself. If you haven't gotten a chance yet, go check out part one that's live right now. But regardless, please enjoy part two of this conversation as we talk about the secrets of recruiting and retaining volunteers. So one of the leadership pieces that we have at Lifehouse is this idea of developing over doing. So the thought that leaders' primary responsibility is develop people to do the work of the ministry. So nearly all ministry can be done by fully engaged, trained Jesus followers. Therefore, leaders must spend less time doing and more time developing. So I know this is that tension that like, okay, but I don't have enough leaders to not do what I'm doing. Yeah, that's right. Fair. That's true. But let that be your objective. That's really the objective of recruiting. You want to bring people in that you train and then empower and then trust to lead your team so that you can go out and basically pass off those roles, not working yourself out of a job. You know, that's not necessarily what we're aiming for. Rather, empowering the people in your team, volunteers, people that are coming in, giving their time, letting them lead the ministry, letting them take ownership of the ministry. As you kind of move away from roles, you can spend more time leading. You can spend more time recruiting and having conversations in the lobby. You can spend more time investing into the people and supporting people. You can be the cheerleader of the team when you get in a leadership position if you can develop people so that you can back off and then let them do the role. I think that's an important objective of recruiting. You know, right now, if you're stressed out and you're just trying to like, I just need people. I just need someone to put on ProPresenter. I need someone to do this. And I just need a photographer. I just need someone to take a video for the social media team. I just need a drummer for the love of God. Like right. Those are all real stresses, but don't get caught up in that when you're not focusing also on the long term. Like what's next? We're not just bringing in this person to fulfill a role. We're opening up this opportunity so that someone can come in and then fulfill a calling that they have on their own life. I think that's an important component not to forget when you're recruiting people.
Yeah.
So Zack, I think everyone who clicked on the video, if they clicked on the video, they were probably coming for the recruitment techniques.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, we want to know how to get people to show up and help us with all of these things.
Right.
And you had a really good handful of ideas of things that sounds like your church has used before to get people in the past.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, out the gate, like I said in the video, the most effective has always been, and I think it will always be, relationships. Relationship building, connecting with people.
Right.
Bringing in your friends. If you bring in a father, you know, encourage him to bring in his son who likes to play Minecraft. Like that's happened like three or four times on my team, and both of them are valuable parts of my team. Like I'm not, you know, I don't want it to say that like, oh yeah, I've got more people just because I brought in this dad. No, no, no. I actually have relationships with these people. I can actually talk with these people in a friend connection. You know, it's because they were willing to ask someone else. They were willing to go out of their comfort zone, maybe bring in their son or bring in their friend who's talked about it before, or maybe they'll bring their friend by the tech booth and then the friend will like look in like, oh, wow, is this what happens? And you know, those relationships are going to be the best thing that you can do. Now, aside from those, you have a lot of different things that you can lean into, and I guess I can expound upon what I said in the video. So in the video, I talked about having a sermon series on volunteering. I think it's important from the stage for the pastor or the pastoral leadership to just talk about how important it is to volunteer. Now, you don't want it to be a commercial. I think there's some kind of value in commercials or variations of advertising volunteer teams, but having that like from the top dog, the importance of volunteering, how you're missing out, you could be missing out on your calling if you're not investing time into the local church. You know, and that, I think one of the important things is that my pastor's really pushed into us is that when we're recruiting, we're not just recruiting for our team, we're recruiting for the church as a whole. So like if you go up to someone and you talk to them and find out their passion is actually helping homeless people, like connect them to the outreach team. Get them, like, take them over there physically. Help them meet the lead person on the outreach team. And, like, don't just because someone's not necessarily interested in tech, don't just write them off. You know, like I said in the video, don't just cut off that relationship. Have the relationship with them and connect them with a place where they could step into a calling. Like, especially for, like, Lifehouse, I know not all churches are volunteer-centric, volunteer-heavy. Some churches have the fortunate enough opportunity to compensate most of their people that they bring on a weekend. That's great. If you're listening to the video, that's probably not the case of your church. So at right. Lifehouse, one of the things that we've seen time and time again is someone just volunteers. One of their leaders feeds into them. They hear the culture of the church that volunteering is important. They invest more time. They learn more. They grow. And then eventually they step into a role where there is an opportunity for them to join the team because they've invested so much into there. And I think that seeing the importance of volunteering from the stage, hearing that that is a core element of the church, is valuable. In the video, I said a volunteer celebration day with signups in the lobby. You know, that could involve your first impressions team or your discipleship team, whatever the case, having some kind of presence, you know, having like all the different teams out there in the lobby. You see a tech booth and you see a worship booth, having people at those places with something that's like attractive or that helps people understand what they'd be doing, very clearly outlines roles or opportunities. And we've done that, and we've not seen the most success with that. We have seen some. You know, I think it comes down to the person that's going to be at that booth. You know, if you have a sure. bunch of introverts at the booth, not necessarily going to be the most exciting and passionate and attractive, depending on their personality. But someone like a first impressions, if they connected, they've seen this person on a video or on stage or something like that, there's going to be a natural willingness to connect with that person. And I think that's important. I think one of the things that we've done more frequently is that we have what we call giving celebrations. So we are a church that has tithes, but then anything above and beyond the tithe is called Kingdom Builders. So we leverage Kingdom Builders in every aspect of our church outside of the core tithe. And we get to celebrate different elements of Kingdom Builders. And then alongside those celebrations of Kingdom Builders, we'll also celebrate elements of our team. So maybe we'll celebrate the outreach that we just had that was made possible because of people's investment, both time and money. Maybe we'll celebrate this volunteer team that, hey, we just had a really big children's kickoff thing last weekend. Let's just celebrate our children's ministry teams. Those kind of things are also attractive to people interested in those fields. And those are also great ways to garner support and just like appreciation for your volunteers. This steps into the retaining aspect.
For sure.
Hey, we just got celebrated from stage. Like every single one of our campuses, the campus pastor just talked about what we did was important. And we didn't even have to like have one conversation. And because of that celebration, we got to talk to like six people whenever they came to pick up their kids. And now we have of those six people, three of them want to volunteer. Like those are all That's valuable awesome. Things. And we've seen those work, yeah. you know, so that's a valid option as well. Something else we do, our life track, which is essentially our members' connection point. People that are new will go to the starting point. From starting point, they'll have an opportunity to learn about the church and the vision and why we are what we are. And at the end of that, there's kind of like an assessment almost. What are the things that you're passionate about? What are your callings? Now knowing that a core part of the church is volunteering, is there one of these volunteers areas that you'd like to be involved in or that you'd like to get more information on?
Right.
That's like something that as a team member, like as a leader of my ministry, I don't have to do anything for to even have that conversation. That's another ministry asking where this person's giftings are. And then all I need to do is follow up ASAP and as much as possible with that person when that right. comes my way. I've been ghosted a lot by people
sure,
from every one of these areas. I've been ghosted a lot, and that's okay. Like I said in the video, it's okay that no's are no's, and sometimes ghosting means that the person isn't actually ready to volunteer, and that's okay. That's part right. of their journey. But for those that do, don't let them slip through the cracks. Try to connect with them in person. Get a phone number. Connect with them on Facebook. Make sure you have that intentional connection, because if you don't form that, people are going to drop off real quickly. You know, if they right, hear, right. oh, you want me to volunteer for 9 extra hours this weekend? I think right. I have to go get lunch somewhere. Okay, bye. You know, you're going to lose yeah. those people real fast if you do that. Ministry fair is another option. I feel like we haven't had as much luck with this one, but I think there's still validity in it. Mm-hmm. So basically, Ministry Fair is similar to kind of like the different booths with the different teams, but it's a little bit more tangible. So I've kind of had an idea that we haven't gotten to do yet, but what if we have the worship team doing worship stuff and the tech team doing tech stuff outside of a weekend service, and we invite people in to observe or be, you know, that we can have them push a button, or we can have them hop on the drums for a quick second.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah.
Knowing that the way we've done ministry fairs hasn't really worked, maybe something like that could have validity for your church ministry. You know, hopefully we'll do it one day on our end, but if you do it first, let us know if it works. Another option, having volunteer signups on your website. I think that's just a go-to that you should have anyway.
Absolutely.
Like, if anytime you have someone go somewhere, you have an email as an action step or a website as an action step. The more parts of that action step that there are, the least likely the person's going to do it.
Right.
If you can just say, sign this paper. If you don't want to do this, go to this website, and it's right there. All you got to do is name, information, send. Like, right. The more complicated it is, the worse it's going to be responded to. So making that available on the website is a really easy touch point. You know, we talked about touch points before, but having those touch points with people that could become volunteers, that's just one you should have. You know, if you don't know where to send volunteers when they want to get involved, you're going to lose those volunteers. You got to make that clear.
Right.
Merch is another one. Having exclusive t-shirts. You know, our church is not one that's done a lot of merchandise. And I know there's a lot of conversations about whether churches should have merchandise or not.
That'll be a video one day.
Yeah. Yeah, that will. But having something on your team where you can just loudly and proudly say, I'm part of the tech team, and you don't even have to say anything with that. That's a nonverbal advertisement on someone's shirt.
Right.
And sometimes that's attractive. You know, I've heard more than once people say, hey, how can I get that shirt? Well, it was actually a limited print that we gave away to our volunteers, but we're probably going to do one soon. You know, those kind of things are conversation starters. And if you can train your volunteers that do have that merchandise to start and have those conversations, that's a win right there. You know, if someone says,
absolutely,
oh, hey, I see that you've got this really cool t-shirt, like, how do I get one of those? Actually, we give them away for every single person that joins a tech team. You want to come with me and I'll show you the tech booth real quick? You know, those are all really effective potentials.
For sure.
And then the last one that I had is social media. I mean, I think we've talked plenty about how valid and important social media is. So we've done a couple pushes for like teams that really need support, and we've done it out on social media, and I think we've had good responses and interactions with it, but not the greatest return on investment, because it's so easy to just push the like button and move on and not have an action step. So if you do some kind of social media push for volunteers, make sure there's some kind of like follow-up or action step, or even like some kind of social media post that's like, it's volunteer March. What is one area that you'd like to do with the church? Like, then you get someone interacting, and then you can have someone follow up with each of those people. So you have like Peggy say like, oh, I love making baskets. And then you have someone follow up like, hey, Peggy, would you like to be part of this ministry or that? You know, whatever the case, having an interactive post is going to be more potential for positive yield.
For sure.
So don't just throw out a picture on Facebook that says we need tech members, and then
no,
go back to your pastoral leadership and say, well, that failed. I guess we're screwed. there's no hope for our ministry. No, don't just stop there. There's a follow-up action step as well. And I think with each of these, and I said it as well in the video, with each of these, whatever you can do to follow up is going to be a super important component of this. Like, if you get people and you don't follow up with them and you don't go out of your way to make that connection, if you don't meet them in person, if you don't bring them up to the booth, whatever, you're going to miss out on the people that you have. You're not going to retain those people if you lose the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb, you had mentioned whenever we were talking about this video that you actually had a few other recruitment methods. Even though you're terrible at people, what are those methods?
I am terrible at people, but I'm half decent at marketing, right? like Zach was saying, the best way to do it is going to be to talk to people. I can't do that. Well, I could. I just hate it so very much. But we've had plenty of conversations within our marketing department on how to get volunteers throughout the entirety of the church, not just in the marketing department. We've come up with plenty of different campaigns, some of which have manifested, some of which haven't. But I figure I could just open the door to our little brainstorming session and just check out some ideas that we've thought about that, hey, maybe your church could use it. And one idea that we had that we were excited about, we still might end up using this idea. You know, I've seen plenty of, like Zach was talking about, like a post on social media, like, we desperately need tech volunteers.
Please help us, dear God.
Please, nursery volunteers or whatever. And like, sure, to a certain extent, you're going to get some people who are pity volunteering, I guess. But as an alternative to that, instead of focusing so much on the need of what needs to be done, we talked about the idea of creating a video, a series of videos, or kind of a collage video of talking to some of our ministry leaders and asking them the question, if you had all the volunteers in the world and all the budget in the world, what could you do with your ministry, right? Like, where could we go? Just dream, hit the gas, shoot for the moon. What is possible? And let those dreams out into the congregation.
In a way, that's kind of vision too. Like, that's a chance Absolutely. To just share vision without having to have that one-on-one conversation.
Right. And like, where are we going to go? And to a certain extent, it's a little bit scary because what if we don't get the volunteers and then we don't hit the vision? So, you know, I get it. But there's a potential for someone to latch on to a vision of like, you know, something for like a nursery, you know, instead of like, oh my gosh, we need more people to change diapers. Please, please, please. You know, we're talking about, oh, we want to have dedicated volunteers to help first-time guests check in their kids for the first time, bring them to the class to know where to drop them off, take them through our maze of a building and sit with them at church and all this kind of stuff, right? Like, but we can't do that right now because we don't have the people, right? That gives people like, oh, I can help. It's not just that I can help this ministry function. It's I can help this ministry get better. I could help improve what we're doing. Well, yeah. You know, I think that's an important distinction. Again, we haven't done that yet, so I can't promise you it'll work, but I really think it will.
I want to come out off that idea briefly. I think we've seen the most success whenever we're celebrating the wins and not focusing on the pain. You know, we've gotten to do a couple, not quite the idea that you're talking about, but we've done a couple like testimony style videos of people who have served in this capacity and this is how their life has changed, or they've served in this way and this is how they've seen like their life get better. Like, those are little notches that you can put in that you could even integrate into your service easily without having to do this big idea that you guys are thinking of. So if you like what Caleb just said, like, there's a smaller way to accomplish that can build to the larger way too. So don't be afraid to try that.
For sure.
Sure. If there's a way I could wrap that up in a real quick statement, it'd be, Caleb, you said this before, sell, don't tell.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Don't just tell me about your, you know, the needs of your ministry. Sell me on what the ministry could be. It's amazing. It's like that catchphrase works for some of the things. whoever uses all the time is probably a super smart ginger.
Too bad he has no soul.
We're gonna go there.
Do you have another one?
Another one. We haven't done this one, but I just think it would be a more lighthearted way to approach it. We've talked about getting a bunch of these basically cardboard cutouts of people, and you can find them on like AliExpress for dirt cheap, and sticking them around in places that volunteers are on one Sunday and just replacing volunteers with these things. We talked about like strapping a guitar around one and putting them on the stage. And when our ushers go up to take the offering, one of them is like carrying one with it. We have ones out by the greeters, ones in the kids' room, some at youth or whatever, right? And just realizing all the different places, all the different people it takes to make the service run. I think, if I remember correctly, and Nick, you can tell me if I'm getting this number wrong, at Grand Rapids First, it takes something like 700 volunteers a week in order to make what we do work, right?
That's the correct number, yeah.
That is a lot of people, and it's growing because we're doing, you know, actively pursuing to do more, right? But showing people how much work that goes into it, and not only that, but the different opportunities there is to serve. A lot of people get locked into, I was like, well, I'm not good at the typical kind of serving stuff, right? Like, if, for example, if my church had a really huge need for nursery volunteers, I'm going to go running and screaming in the other direction because I can't stand children. I'm sorry.
I feel
that
like that's
sounds
a theme.
Horrible, but
first
it's the truth.
Nick said how terrible children are in the last episode.
I know. I just, they terrify me.
Are we
going to
end up deleting this one too?
No, no.
Guys, I got to say that I actually really enjoy kids.
that's Zach loves great. It. That's great. It's not my time. Fit, right? It's not my fit. But, you know, putting up these silhouettes in all of these different places, you put one behind camera, you know, it would be silly. But and showing, like, look at all of these different opportunities they are to use my gifts and my talents. You know, my entire career right now is built off of the moment where my youth pastor gave me the opportunity to volunteer my time to make sermon slides and youth merch for him, right? It's all built because I realized that that stupid little Photoshop thing I was doing where I was changing the color of Charizard, I could use it as a ministry tool, right? And that my entire life has been changed because of that moment, right? And like Zach was saying, we're not just filling a role here. You know, we're potentially helping someone realize their calling. And that was that way for me. And now, you know, now I'm here. Now I'm doing this for a living. But, you know, that could be an easy, fun way, kind of a lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek way to kind of show people the breadth of options there are at your church. And I think kind of going along with what Zach was doing, one thing that we do take advantage of often social media, not necessarily just posting, we have a really big need in one thing, but we'll do what we call volunteer highlights, where we'll go find a volunteer that's just kicking butt, taking names, take a picture of them doing what they do, talk about how awesome they are, and then how you can serve in that same ministry, right? So again, highlighting the wins. But there's a million different ways to get volunteers. Those are just some of the ways that we've thought about doing it.
Now, there's one question that I wanted to ask since I had both you together with me. You guys have done two videos that I can remember. Look how sticky they are, because I remember them still. You did one.
Wow.
Yeah, aww. You did one where I think you were trying to get someone for your tech team. You basically had the same guy on every position in the video. It made it feel like the same guy was running it. So that was one funny one. And the other one, which is kind of more related to trying to get a graphic designer, you guys did an office spoof that went semi-viral, right?
We did. We made a really funny, stupid little parody of The Office using our office when we were looking for a graphic designer. It ended up going crazy. We had like 100,000 views on it or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
I just got shared around and shared. It was a funny video, right? It ended up getting us 3 resumes. So I don't know. I don't know how much I can.
Well, hold on. That's not necessarily true. There were other people in other departments that got people because of that video. We got
more resumes for stuff that wasn't related to the video, which I'm glad we helped, right? But it was a funny, creative way of trying to bring to get people's attention, right?
So maybe not the most effective, but still, you know, you kind of got the connection, that touch point. Maybe not the stickiest, right. I guess. But so once we've recruited and tried all these methods, and we haven't just given up after trying one thing, we're constantly trying to recruiting. I think recruiting is going to be a constant reality for churches that are volunteer based. So, with that being said, I think a vital part of recruiting is all the effort you put into retaining those volunteers. If you have 16 volunteers, join your tech team. I mean, right now I'm praying that over my ministry. That's not going to mean anything if they don't stick around for more than a month, you know?
Right.
Retaining is important. You got to train people in what they're doing. You got to bring in that vision, make it clear what your expectations are for them, make it clear maybe even the road path that you have for them. I've had volunteers in the past that have been like in the front, like, hey, I've been in ministries in the past where I got stuck in a position and nothing happened for 6 months. Is that going to happen with this ministry? Like, it's important to be upfront and real about all these things. Even outlining the training process that you're going to take them through. One of the things that I had to cut from the video was a 5-step training process, and I'll try to breeze through that real quick. Follow me here. It's a little wordy, and your head might hurt after this, so I apologize, but I'll get through it real quick. Step 1 is I do, you watch. Step 2 is I do, you help. Step 3 is you do, I help. Step 4 is you do, I watch. And then step 5 is you do, someone else watches. I bet that was really clear, right? And your head's totally processed what I said.
I understood.
I think I follow.
So basically this 5-step process really just outlines that you start by bringing someone on to watch what you're doing and learn from you. Then you bring them in alongside of you so that you're doing this together, so that you're giving them the chance to grow and you're also guiding them and helping them understand how to do things correctly.
Right.
Then you you transition into a place where your roles switch. They're doing most of the job. You're just there supporting them in case something goes wrong or a major blackout happens. From there, at some point, you're going to release entirely and let that person run that role by themselves fully. You trust them. You've trained them. They now have the capability to lead. Eventually, the objective is that they're now bringing up someone underneath of them. Does that make more sense than the wordy version that I use?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We should always be replicating ourselves and teaching others to replicate themselves.
There you go. That was a nice, simple way to say it. I know, like, it's super easy as us as perfectionists to be worried because we've got this high level of excellence, especially if you're like my church. There's standards and there's things you have to hit. And if the slides aren't on time, then the worship team gets out of sync. And if the lights aren't right, then right. We'll have the transition weirdly. If the sound guy isn't watching the turning on the campus pastor's mic, then that's important because then they'll be silent. If the camera ops aren't tracking, then the pastor will leave the frame. And so it goes on and on. But I think that in order for us to develop overdue, for us to retain people, for us to hand off things in the ministry, we have to take those risks, but there's no reason we can't do it well.
Right.
There's no reason we can't say, come alongside of me and learn this. Let me teach you right.
For sure.
If you are running ProPresenter and maybe you got someone that ran ProPresenter 5 at a previous church, and now we're on ProPresenter 7. Maybe you say, okay, this is how we do it. This is how we learn this thing. This is how we input slides. These are our cues. These are our, you know, the triggers. These are the buttons that you need to push. You got to wait for a director to cue you for this, so on and so forth. Don't be afraid of lowering your excellence as a part of training because those things are compatible. Bring along someone alongside of you and then give them the tools so that they can operate it on themselves. So we've got this 5-step training process, but that doesn't mean that it's necessarily just going to take 5 weeks. Sometimes it takes more than that. Maybe, for example, someone that's learning ProPresenter again, they're stuck on week 2 because they're just not getting the cue button or they're not understanding why they would push this over pushing that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Being patient and extending grace, it's an important part of that learning process. Don't rush someone through a process, but then also make sure that you as your leader are encouraging them to do things. And the sometimes sucky part is that sometimes they have to mess up in order to learn that's the way to do things. So like on director, I train people on and video directing a lot. One of the biggest things that I say is that sometimes you just have to do the wrong way in order to understand why you're going to do it the right way. In those moments, you're going to have to eat, you know, you're going to have to accept that, okay, yes, there was a moment in service. Sorry, pastor, this did happen, but we're in the middle of training a person in that role and they learn from that experience. Sometimes it's from those mess ups that we're going to learn to be better than we were before. So that 5-step training process is just a really great outline for us moving forward with our trainings. It's just a good way to help people get in the zone and know their expectations. And then plus having someone like you that's building relationship alongside of them as you're training them, like that's relationship building. And that's a core part of your team. They get that trust. You get trust from them. They get trust from you. There's a relational connection there that not only are they learning a new spot, but now you guys are getting closer and they're feeling like they're part of a team by running this position. Now, there's one caveat that I wanted to talk about that is, it's like two-sided. In some productions, specifically, again, talking about the tech team, there's going to be roles that need to have a high level of excellence. So sometimes, most frequently, that would be a band director or a front of house operator or maybe even a director, positions that require a higher level of investment. It's those kind of positions that aren't necessarily entry level positions for a tech team. Like, it's okay to have that guideline there,
right?
Especially whenever you have that high expectation. That's whenever compensation sometimes is necessary or contracting is sometimes necessary. But we understand that that's not always an option for your church, especially smaller churches. But there's also nothing wrong with having that excellence standard saying, okay, if you're going to learn front of house, we're behind you. It's just going to require you to step up more and you to put more energy into this.
Right.
And hopefully by that time that they'd actively seek to expand into a larger position, that they're already bought into the team. That buy-in also gives you the opportunity to say, great, I'm going to start pushing you more as your leader. I want to start to enable you and give you the skills to do this in the right way. So there's nothing wrong with having positions like that have a higher level of expectation, but also don't shut down someone from trying it without letting them know that they're going to have to invest more time into this learning this position. So whether that's coming in to train during the weeks, or maybe we start them on front of house in the youth ministry where the expectations are a little not quite as intense, or you know, whatever the case, let that be an option for them, but also know as the leader, you're going to need to invest more into them. Yes, it is a little bit more of an investment and expectation, but when you start developing those people in those higher roles, that starts to look like leadership training in your team. And that starts to look like
higher
level of expectation where you can invest into more people. So there's value there. Don't restrict people from not doing something, but also don't be afraid to set standards on the team.
For sure.
So the very last thing I wanted to talk about is the importance of team building as it plays a part in retaining volunteers. So yes, it's great if you have a good rapport and a good relationship with your team on the weekends, but if all they do is show up and do something and then leave, then you're kind of missing out on a good opportunity. Every single week, there's a couple things that I do within the weekend service, and then there's a couple things that we strive to do like every other month or monthly even. What I do every single week is at the end of every service, I ask people what their wins are. You know, I ask them what they're celebrating that they did good at that service. Like, what went well? Mm-hmm. And then I ask them, what are they working on? You know, we don't ever want to get stagnant. So like, yeah, you did that great. And then what's an area where you're improving on? Or what do you want to grow in? Or who are you training up? You know, asking this nice back and forth of what are you celebrating and what are you working on?
Yeah.
I think something that we've introduced because we have the time in our weekend services, we do devotions before service. As a team, we always make sure right after we're done prayer, right after we do production circle, we do team devotions where we get to sit down for about 15 minutes. We do prayer with each other. We talk about devotions. We talk about culture. I think I've seen a lot of value in that being an instrumental part of our team. And we've been intentional about making sure our leaders are at that. And that's been a valuable part that people expect every single service. So that's been a good thing. The other thing that we admittedly have not been the best at is external trainings and external hangouts. So I think things like team building days, team training days, vision casting days, or team hangout days, those are all great things.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be outside of the weekend. That's going to be on a Sunday after service. That's going to be on a Saturday morning or Friday night. This is going to require more from you as the leader. You're going to have to invest. I mean, it's going to feel like giving up a night, but you're going to have to invest in your teams outside of the service. Even outside of ministry, you're just going to hear team building has value. Maybe do an escape room together or go to a movie. That same thing applies to your teams. Like, don't be afraid to ask them to do a video game night. Or, you know, let's go to Dave and Buster's or whatever thing you have at your local area. You know, let's go golfing. Let's go,
sure.
You know, let's just hang out. You know, let's do a barbecue. Those things are all ways for people to buy more into you and your ministry. And that requires investment.
Yeah.
But I think the return that you get on that investment is just going to go miles and miles toward retaining people to your ministry. When people know that you care about them outside of the roles that you have them in, they're going to understand that and accept that better. So,
for sure. I think a phrase that gets used often at my church, and I know I've heard at other churches as well, is the people stay when they're known and when they're needed, right? And obviously, when they're needed is a lot of what we're talking about, just volunteering in general. But that's how you get them to be known, right? When you spend time with them outside of volunteering, outside of working, is when you pass that level of just, I'm just the leader of this ministry that I volunteer at, to I'm a friend, you know, and I can trust you and all that sort of thing. So
yeah. So I think there's just a lot of value there, and don't neglect your teams outside of the weekends. Whew. So that was about as much content as we covered in the video, but stretched out over these podcasts. So thanks for staying with us on this journey. I know there's a lot of talking from my end, so hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast with Zach Snyder. It's
good content.
Been great having you.
It's an incredibly important topic, and I know if every church struggles with it to an extent. Every church could use more volunteers, right? But understanding how to treat your volunteers, you know, what your volunteers are looking for, I think it'll just help you be better as a ministry, not just for getting the right people, but for your people to be happy and to be growing and to be successful in the spots that they're being put in.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us for these two podcasts. There's just a lot of value in this conversation. So if we missed anything or if you have any other questions, please feel free to connect with us on our Facebook or Instagram or join our Discord to ask any of these questions that you might have. You know, this has been kind of a fun thing to talk about. And it's also been kind of challenging, admittedly, for myself, because a lot of the struggles that I've talked about is stuff that we're actively dealing with on the teams that I'm a part of. I don't know about you guys. I know Caleb doesn't deal with people, but Nick, I don't know about you. Maybe that's something you're struggling with, but you know, I think that
people where
volunteers are always a struggle. Yeah. You know, they come and go, and it's part of discipleship.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We get to participate in discipleship, and that's a hard thing to do.
It certainly is. Well, guys, thanks for voluntarily talking to me today.
I laughed.
Okay, well, thanks so much for that support. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's conversation on the Black Bar Podcast. Be sure to check out our weekly videos on YouTube and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We want to keep this conversation going beyond the podcast and the YouTube channel, so make sure to connect with us on social media and we can get you access to the exclusive Black Bar Discord, where we continue to have these kind of conversations with our community every single week. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on whatever podcasting app you're joining us on today. We want to bring more people into these conversations, and you can be a part of that. It's our hope that each and every episode can be a resource for you, your team, and your church. So please share this episode to bring more people into these weekly conversations. We can't wait to see you next week as we uncover more secrets in the church, media, and marketing world.